Thankful for this new generation leading us in worship. Amen. We'll invite you to take your Bible, find Matthew chapter 9, and man, what a tremendous message already. Thank you for that word of encouragement. Encourage everyone to come out this evening to the event at Manchester High School, and what a tremendous weekend of outreach it's already been that Parkway in partnership with Liberty has been involved in, and man, what a tremendous word there, reminder to us to make sure that we don't have that bitter fruit in our lives. A very effective word, tremendous word of Scripture, tremendous testimony, nasty story, but effective, amen? I mean, that brings on a whole new light to making sure you wash your fruit, right, before you eat it, but don't know what good it would do, but anyhow, man, I'll remember that. I'm going to have to tell that story. I love a good story, and anyway, well, today I want to share with you about how Jesus invites us to join him in his mission in the harvest. And one of the things that I'm just so thankful for is in the 10 years I was privileged to serve as pastor at Parkway, really from day one, from even before March 2nd when the church had its first worship service, this church really, really, really grabbed a hold of the idea that Jesus invites us to be a part of his mission. And really, you've seen the results of that over the past 15 years. And it's something that one of my coworkers at the Baptist Convention, my associate there, Brandon Pickett, who was a member of this church for a while, he said this just the other week. He said, you know, Parkway was always about reaching our neighbors and the nations. And, you know, when you're starting a church, when you're planning a church, that's real important. It's important to do outreach. You know why? Well, because if you don't, no one's going to show up, all right? So you have to be vigilant. And usually what we see is the same thing in a newer church. Same reality as in a newer Christian is usually they tend to be more evangelistic. They tend to be more outreach-oriented. And as we grow older in our Christian faith, we have to stay vigilant to make sure we keep our eyes on the mission. Just as churches grow older, we have to stay vigilant in that. So just as for 15 years this church has been about outreach, the next 15 years, you're going to have to stay even more vigilant at that. And what is amazing to me is in Matthew 9, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ actually invites us to be a part of his mission. It's like this. It's almost as if Jesus, I don't want to take the analogy too far, but it's almost like Jesus puts up a help wanted sign and he says, listen, I want you to be a part of my mission. Now, I came across just a few interesting examples of places hiring. Look at this one right here. This right here, this is a place hiring truckers, but if you look to the right, that's a trucker that was having a bad day. I don't know if you can make it out in the picture or not, but his truck is tipped over. So sometimes you might be a little nervous about the invitation of Jesus. Look at the next picture. Now here's an ad. Let me read it to you. Surgeon wanted for a new health clinic opening in the area. No experience needed. Must have his own tools. All right? That's not my kind of surgeon. You might say, well, I don't have a lot of experience in reaching out to my neighbors. I don't have a lot of experience in sharing Jesus with others. That's all right. The Lord Jesus has equipped you. Look at the next picture. Now hiring now, right now, hiring now, now, now. And that's what I want you to hear. Right now, the mission is urgent. We need to be about reaching our neighbors and the nations now, right now. Look at the next one. Burger King, now hiring losers. I just thought that one was funny, so I wanted you to see it, all right? I didn't. It was actually a guy, one of our brothers in the first service, this was totally lost on me. He said, and he pointed out to me, that the sign should read, now hiring closers. That kind of ruins the whole thing for me now. But anyway, I liked it better the way, anyway, now hiring losers. Hey, anyway, I don't know what to do with that one. I'll just go on the next one. Go ahead. Next one is cab drivers wanted nights and weekends, must have good driving, and a criminal record. That's just how you read it. But anyway, look at the next one. Store closing, now hiring. It's another one. I just wanted you to see it. No biblical application, just thought it was good. Look at the next one. Is that it? Okay, this is the last one, I think. Waitress needed, must be 18 years old with 20 years experience. I like that. Hey, you're never too young to start serving the Lord Jesus, and you don't have to have 20 years of experience either. You may say, well, I'm just a young Christian. I forgot. Yeah, now hiring fried turkeys. Yeah, well, we got some turkeys in churches sometimes too. Oh, okay, just playing. All right. Matthew chapter 9. Look at this with me. God's Word. Matthew 9, verse 35. The Bible says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities. Matthew 9, 35. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Now, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Joining Jesus in the harvest. Let's talk about that for a few moments today. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it is amazing that you invite us to be a part of your mission. And Lord Jesus, I pray today that you will once again grip us and help us to renew ourselves to the mission at hand. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of this church. And God, I pray for the churches in our Baptist Convention, Lord. I pray really a prayer of thanksgiving for their partnership in the gospel. But Lord, I also just pray, Lord, that we'll be gripped. We'll be gripped with the urgency and also the opportunity that you put before us, that we'll be motivated to be about your mission, that Lord Jesus will join you in the harvest. Lord, I pray the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart will be pleasing in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I can remember going down to visit my grandparents. My mom's dad, my granddad, was a farmer. And I can remember going down there, and I would see him out on the tractor, and the dust would be being stirred up. And it seemed that the harvest was always in a crisis. And you learn this if you ever get to know farmers, or maybe you're a farmer yourself. The reality is this, is you're praying for rain, or it's too much rain. You need sun, or you're urgently waiting to see when the crop's going to break through the ground. And then at a certain point, you got to make sure if the crop is ripe, you got to make sure that the crop doesn't go too long. There's always a crisis in the harvest. There's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of dependency. That's the harvest. And what's amazing here is in Matthew 9, we get a snapshot from this episode in the life of Jesus, how the Lord Jesus Christ looks at the harvest field. Verse 35, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages. Just think about that for just a moment. Give you a little context here of his invitation to us. Jesus went. Never forget how far Jesus was willing to go just so you and I could be reached by him, just so you and I could have a relationship with Almighty God. Jesus went. No one has ever traveled any further or sacrificed any more than the Lord Jesus did. Philippians 2 reminds us that he actually humbled himself. He humbled himself. He left the throne room of heaven to be born through a virgin's womb and came into this world so you and I could have our sins paid for, forgiven, and new life in Christ. Amen? Isn't that amazing? And maybe you're here today and you have never, ever come to terms with the reality of what Jesus has done for you. Well, that right there is where you need to pause. You need to right now consider what Jesus has done for you. Jesus would have come if it had been just you. Jesus went. He went throughout all the cities. Not only do you see that he comes, but you see where he goes. All these places. And it's amazing that Jesus viewed everywhere as his mission field. And later on, he would tell his disciples, "Make disciples of all nations." One of the things that gets my attention is the Great Commission is not a small suggestion. It's one of the reasons that our churches partner together, that we work together. It's because we realize that one church can't do it all, just like one Christian can't do it all. And the reality is this, is that all of our neighbors and all the nations need Jesus. And this is what God has called us to. Never forget the mission field. Your neighbors, God has seen fit to put this church here and to put you where you live, where you work, and where you go to school, because he invites you to be a part of his mission all, everywhere. And then you see his ministry. The Bible tells us that he went throughout all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. And right there, pause for a moment, because I think sometimes we fail to see the harvest field before our very eyes. Jesus went teaching in the synagogues. I think about those folks who taught at 9 o'clock and those who are teaching right now. I think about those who are leading us in worship. The reality is this, is right here in our own families, in our own churches, you have a tremendous harvest field. Never think that teaching that child or investing in that teenager or sharing God's word with other women or other men, that's wasted. Oh, I know sometimes you may find that those 8-year-olds weren't listening to you this morning, but never forget that they have souls that matter to God, and they're part of his harvest field. Never, ever lose sight of that. Jesus taught in the synagogue. Then the Bible tells us he proclaimed the gospel in the marketplace. Your neighborhoods, your workplace, your schools, these are all mission fields where God has seen fit to place us. God has placed this church right here in this place for such a time as this. I can remember calling the man who was the original owner of the Magnolia Green development 15 years ago. It was nothing but trees. There were no roads, just hunting trails. And I remember I called and I talked with him. And I shared with him about a church being planted here and being started here. And they said, oh, it's going to be a while. We've run into some snags. And some of you know the story about there. They went through a lot of different transitions in what's now Magnolia Green. But now I drove through that community this morning. Hundreds of homes being built. In just that one community, God has seen fit to be bringing neighbors and even people from different nations here to your community, to our community. Why? Well, they're going to tell you because of a job, because of good schools, because of a nice house, a beautiful neighborhood. But I also believe that God in his providence is trusting all these neighbors to this church. He's bringing you a mission field that's ever growing, tremendous opportunity. And then it says healing. He went about healing every disease and every affliction. People around us have tremendous need. They need the Lord. They need his good news. They are in lostness and they're in darkness. People need Jesus. And that's when the Bible tells us that when he looked, he just didn't look and see crowds. The Bible says he saw crowds. That word saw, it literally means he looked intently. It's more than just observing with your eyes. It means paying attention in your mind and being touched in your heart. He looked at people, but he saw more than a crowd. That's why I want you to note 4 things that joining Jesus in the harvest involves. Number 1 is seeing. Joining Jesus in the harvest involves seeing. When Jesus looked at the crowds, he just didn't see faces in the crowd. He saw souls in the crowd. He realized right there, a multitude of souls was before him. You know, there are times when all I see is the traffic around here. There are times when all I see are just folks walking their dogs and out strolling together. Just times I just see the faces in the cafeteria at my kids' school. There are just times I just see the faces in the crowd, but it's not that way with Jesus. Jesus, when he looks at you, when he looks at me, he just doesn't see a face. He sees a soul. And that's what Jesus invites you and me to be about. He invites us to see the multitudes the way he sees them, but there's a problem. A lot of times we have what I'll call a blind spot. It's kind of like yesterday I was driving back on Interstate 95 and you'll pass by these big trucks or you'll get up behind one on the interstate, right? You ever notice sometimes in the back they'll have a sign. And the sign will read, if you can't see my mirrors, I can't see you. It's because they have a blind spot. Now, some automakers have made these automobiles now. They're pretty sophisticated, and they actually have sensors on them. And if you begin to try to pull over in a lane and there's a car in your blind spot, the alarms will go off. And they'll start sounding, and it's warning you have a blind spot. Jesus, in a way, wants us to realize we've got some blind spots sometimes. And we need to hear the alarm sounding. There are multitudes around us. They need Jesus. They need to hear his gospel. They need to hear his good news. They need to know how Jesus came and gave his life for them. How Jesus can change their lives too. Now, sometimes folks will say, well, I don't really know what to tell people. Something I would just encourage you in is this thought. I think most folks in this room have probably forgotten more of the gospel than a lot of the world has ever even heard. I bet if you just were talking with someone and you just without a class or any training, I bet almost everybody in this room right now, you would be able to share with them your story and share with them what you know about the Lord Jesus to do a pretty decent job. So the issue a lot of times isn't what we have in our minds. It's what we see with our eyes. Do we see the multitudes the way Jesus does? It involves seeing. I think about the other month when I found myself on a border of Greece and Macedonia. Now I know, and I'm not here to get into this, I told somebody about the refugee crisis. I said, I'm not running for president, and I don't hold political office. So I'm not in that. And I was in a different country, so I'm not going to get into the debate politically about the refugee crisis. What I want to tell you is this, though, personal experience. Found myself on the border as these buses of refugees are being dropped off. And I watched these folks line up, and I began to talk with them. I remember one mother. There were their husband, there were their kids. All they had was what they could carry in their backs and in their hands, and she looked at me and she said, are we there yet? Are we where we're trying to get to? She didn't even know where they were trying to get to. She just knew she needed to get to a better place. I think about his dad, there with his kids. His wife had been killed in Syria, and he looked at us. He pleaded with us, and he said, I don't want to be in anybody's army. I just want to be somewhere where I can raise my kids and have a job and not get shot at. And every single person I asked if I could pray with them and prayed in Jesus' name, even though most of them were coming from predominantly Muslim countries, I began to have people come up and say, would you pray with us too? And for many of them, for the first time in their lives, it was the first time they ever heard a man pray in Jesus' name. And I had to realize these are more than just people on the nightly news. I need to realize these are souls. And they matter to God. I think about my friend Tony Garib, who's involved in church planting and reaching out to people and how he lays it on the line all the time. I think about folks who lost their homes in the floodings in Western Virginia and how folks from this church and other churches went there to help people in their dire need when everything they owned had been swept away and now everything left was up to its neck in mud. But they're sharing Jesus and sharing hope and sharing encouragement, whether it be a meal or a glass of water, but sharing it in Jesus' name. I think about the folks from this church who are just back from South Asia. Now, they went to the other side of the world. You know, people in other parts of the world, they don't get that. They're amazed. Right there, just when you show up, you've already made an impact because they're like, why would you spend your own money and your vacation and come here where I don't even want to be, they'll think. And yet you're here and you begin to tell them about Jesus. It all starts with seeing the way Jesus sees. Joining Jesus involves seeing, but involves caring. The Bible says this, Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion for them. You see, it involves seeing, but it involves caring. That idea of compassion, it's the way we would say it is he felt it in his heart, but literally it's the idea that he felt it in his gut. We get our word spleen from that word compassion that's been translated here. Jesus felt it like a kick in the gut. He felt it down deep in his soul. It involves caring. Gives us a metaphor here. The Bible says he had compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep are interesting. Sheep will die of thirst 100 feet away from water if someone doesn't lead them to it. Sheep will eat dirt if they're not led to grass. They're harassed. They're helpless. They're fatigued. They're forlorn. They're dejected. They're deserted. They're exhausted. They're exposed. When Jesus sees the crowd, he's moved with compassion. We need to be moved with compassion for what Jesus shows us. Just want to kind of get you involved here for a moment. I want to play what I call the opposite game. I'm going to say a word. I want you to say out loud the opposite, okay? All right? Say okay. All right? All right. There you go. He's playing along. Got me nervous there for a minute. I was going to call them security guys in here. All right, ready? Fast. All right. Hot. High. Young. Soft. Rich. Compassion. That stumps you, doesn't it? You know. Sometimes we'll say hate. That's not the opposite of compassion. The opposite of compassion is apathy. It's apathy. It's not that you hate people, it's just you don't give a rip. That's the opposite of compassion. We just don't think about them. We just don't stop to see and care. Jesus invites us to join him in the harvest, and it starts right there, seeing and caring. But here's what I do sometimes. I can watch the nightly news and see all of the lostness and the darkness. But you know what I can do? I can hit the off button on my remote, roll over, and go to sleep. The Lord has to do a work in me. He has to help me to see the multitudes. He has to move within me so I begin to care about the multitudes. I need to remember what C.S. Lewis said when he said, there are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. Everyone you and I meet will spend eternity in one of two places, seeing, caring. So Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. Seeing, caring, praying. Praying earnestly. It means to pray in a serious, fervent, deep way. It's the idea of pleading and begging. But just look at this. Look at who says this. Jesus says, pray earnestly. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Out of everywhere I've checked, out of the research I've done, this is the one place in the Bible where the Lord Jesus raises his hand in the meeting, so to speak, and says, I have a prayer request. I want you not to miss this. You see, when I think about praying, usually I think about I have a request of Jesus, and I'm asking Jesus to answer my prayer. In this one episode, Jesus says, I have a prayer. And guess what? You and I are used of God to answer the Lord's prayer request. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That the Lord Jesus looks at you and me and he says, I want to invite you to be involved in the harvest with me. Prayer's a good place to start, friends. It's a good place to start. It'll get our hearts right before we try to go out and just start. It'll get us in the place where God wants us to be. So I would just ask you right now, who are you praying for? Is it a prodigal? Is it a prodigal? Maybe it's your own son, your own daughter. You're praying for them. You're pleading with God over their soul. Is it a sibling? Is it a coworker? Is it a classmate? Jesus sees the multitudes. He's moved with compassion. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. He doesn't see them as liberal or conservative. He doesn't see them as black or white. He doesn't see them as whatever you want to come up with. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. Seeing, caring, praying. And then look at this. He says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Joining Jesus in the harvest, it involves our seeing, our caring, our praying. It involves our sending. The word send there, it's literally the idea of throwing you out, of forcing you out. Now, usually when we think of church, we think the idea is we got to get you to come in. We want you to come and have a seat. We want you to be a part of this. And That's very important. That's very critical to what we're about. But understand this. Just notice this. When you walk out of this room today, on the back of the sign that was telling you where certain things were when you came in, and some of you don't even look at that anymore because you just know where you're going, but when you walk out on the back of that sign, I haven't checked it lately, but I think it's still there, it says you're now entering the mission field. All of us live on a mission field. Now, some of you, God calls you short-term, some long-term, to go to the other side of the world to share Jesus. For some of us, he's gonna want you just to go across the street. For some of us, for some of you, all you have to do is look across the dinner table. And God has put you in a critical place of being a part of his harvest. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed by that. Jim Elliot, missionary to the Alka Indians, who would give his life there, said, quote, "Our young men are going into other fields because they don't feel called to the mission field. We don't need a call. We need a kick in the pants." Where's God have you this morning? Sending involves a few things. It involves our giving. You know, when you give as a church, you're a part of helping send missionaries all around this world. You're a part of planting churches right now, right here, right now. You're a part of also helping to raise up a new generation of ministers and missionaries. It involves giving. It involves going. You see, sometimes we're the sent and sometimes we're the senders. It involves sending. It is important for us today to never, ever forget that Jesus invites us to be a part of his mission. The great late evangelical theologian Carl F. H. Henry, he said it like this. He said, "It's only good news if it gets there in time. It's only good news if it gets there in time." You can keep on reading in Matthew 10. Jesus calls his disciples together. He commissions them. He sends them out. He tells them they're going to proclaim as they go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They're going to heal the sick. They're going to raise the dead. They're going to cleanse lepers. They're going to cast out demons. It reminds us that right in front of us this day and in the days to come, as long as Jesus shall tarry, that this church has set before her the diseased, the dying, the despised, and the dirty. Bottom line is people all around us in lostness and in darkness. That's what Jesus sees. And Jesus invites you and me to be involved in his harvest. I can remember when we would pull on that dirt road in North Carolina, begin to head down there, my brother and I sitting in the back seat, mom and dad in the front. I could see granddaddy on the tractor. And we'd pull into the yard. Granddaddy would pull up in the tractor. And I always wondered what was going to happen. Was he going to get off the tractor, say, "Come on in the house, let's see your grandma, let's wash up, it's time for supper." Or was he going to pull up in the tractor and look at me and say, "Hey, son, why don't you get on the tractor with me? We got a field to plow." Would love it when granddaddy would invite me to ride the tractor. I was a city kid. I didn't want to drive the tractor by myself. And Jesus he's not asking you to bring in the harvest owner. Don't ever be silly thinking that it's all on you. No, Jesus is the one that brings in the harvest. I knew who was driving the tractor. I was along for the ride. And that's what Jesus invites you to, church. To go with him on the ride of a lifetime, joining him in the harvest. So as you look at the harvest field that is set before you, are you ready? I want to ask you to consider this response today. Number one is this. Maybe you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to remember what we started with, that Jesus went. Jesus came for you and me, friend. So I'm going to invite you today to come to Him. He wasn't dissuaded by the shame of the cross. He was willing to bear the shame of the cross to pay for our sins. So don't you be ashamed of Him today, friend. He is your Lord and your Savior. Won't you come to Him? Come to Jesus and let Him change your life. So that's number one. We'll have a pastor down front. You can come forward and just say, I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus. You see, some of us, we're trying to bear fruit on our own. And we got dead roots. You see, you have to also, secondly, beware of that bitter fruit. So maybe you're here today, and you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's some bitterness there. There's something going on there. I don't know what it is. You have to talk to the Lord about that, but I'm just going to ask you, invite you. Maybe you just want to come and kneel here. Make this your altar. I know it's nothing fancy. This place is built to also be used for a lot of things. Reach out to this community, but maybe you just need to come and kneel in prayer, or maybe pray where you are and ask God to search out the soil of your life and do a work there today. The other invitation is for many of you, and this is what it is. And now, if you're not involved in a church family, I highly recommend this one. Won't you join in with these brothers and sisters in the harvest? But you need to come on up today and let them know you're ready to get on a tractor and join with these folks. That's what Jesus is inviting you to do. And lastly, who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? I want to ask you around this room today, can you think of one person by name that you will pray for while the praise team is singing today? Just one person. Just one. Who's your one that you're praying for? Maybe you have a lot, but just pick one for the next few moments. You say, "But I don't know anybody that I can pray for that needs the Lord." Well, pray for my brother Terry, who I've witnessed to so many times. But I need God to do something there. I need Jesus to bring in that harvest, because I know I can't do it. Who's your one? Who's your one? Father, heads bowed and eyes closed here. We're all coming before you in prayer now. And Lord, I just want to pray right now that, Lord, you'll grip our hearts. You'll start with our eyes, Lord. Help us to see the multitudes the way you do. Then, Lord, from our eyes, I pray you'll grip our heart and grip us in the gut, Lord, and that you'll help us to have compassion. And then, Lord, I pray that it'll go to our knees and that we'll seek you, Lord, and we'll pray. Lord, we'll pray for your mighty hand to work in the lives of the lost. And Lord, maybe we just need to start with praying for ourselves, that you'll work. If there's bitterness, you'll work. If there's unwillingness, you'll work. If there's fear in our lives, and Lord, you'll just begin to change us. And then, Lord, you'll get our feet ready. And you'll get us moving. You'll get our arms ready, and you'll have us open them wide. Get our mouths ready. Because we're going to be sent. Lord, grip us, I pray. Help us to join you in the harvest. So many folks, Lord, in the past 15 years have been ministered to by through the ministry of this church, people that never be met on this side of eternity. Lord, so many more. So many more need you. But God, we're not driving a tractor. You are, Lord. You are. You know where you're going. You know what you're doing. Lord, thank you for inviting us to join you in the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. If you stand to your feet, you respond as the Lord grips you today, okay? Pastor Max down front.